Okay, this coming Shabbos, we're going to have the wonderful pleasure of reading Parshas Ki Seitzei. There are so many mitzvos in this week's Parsha. Let's begin with a famous discussion of the story of the Ben Sorer Umora, the rebellious child. The Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Ayin Aleph, Amud Aleph notes that the concept of Ben Sorer Umora is one of those conditions that will never happen. Ben Sorer Umora lo haya velo nivra. And the only reason that it's written is Kedei Lidro Shulakabo Schar, to study it and teach it and receive reward. And thus the question has to be asked, the Torah is expansive enough. Why do we need a specific mitzvah or a series of mitzvahs just to add to it and receive schar? So Mori Rabbi Roshefta Shlivta would often note the explanation of the Balatanya, who explains that if we have mitzvahs whose practical implication seems to be indeed impossible, so then it demonstrates that the Torah, specifically, and Elokus, the concept of godliness in general, is by definition infinite and beyond the boundaries of that which you and I call practical. The Torah, there is the practical life, and the Torah is a practical guidebook, but beyond that, says the Baal HaTanya, the Torah goes beyond the practical. It's a more than just a practical guidebook. And so Rav Shachter Shalita would often use the example of the international dateline as an example. The Rishonim, especially the author of the Sod Olam, who was a student of the Rush, had a hard time understanding how there could be a place that would make a Rosh Hashanah 18 hours after the city of Yerushalayim because of some set dateline in a place where there were never any Jews. The answer, though, was clear. The issue is based on a theoretical dateline. Things that are theoretical in halacha make one aware of the infinite influence of Elokus. And thus, Ben Sorer Umora makes us infinitely aware of the status of Elokus. The Torah tells us that when a person loses an object, he has to go ahead and try to help the other person find it. V'chein ta'aseh l'chola v'das achicha asher tovad mimenu umitza'asa. This is what you're supposed to do to all the lost objects of your brothers that shall be lost, and you find it. And the Mishnah identifies that there was a special stone in Evan HaToein, which functioned as a sort of lost and found location. When you went up to Yerushalayim, you'd be able to go to there and find anybody who perhaps found a object that was lost, or perhaps lost an object that you might have found within the process. The Mishnah suggests that this Evan HaToein was in Yerushalayim. However, in Hilchos Geneva Vaveda, Gzeila Vaveda, the Rambam seems to locate it outside of Yerushalayim. How are we supposed to understand, and why does the Rambam differ with the text of the Mishnah? So Mordechai Ilan, the author of the Mikdash Mordechai Zatzal, explains that, like with those accounting difficulties which were worked on outside of Yerushalayim, there was an Evan HaChesbonot that was outside of Yerushalayim, so that the Yerushalayim experience of the Olei Regalim, the Yerushalayim experience of those who went forward for Yontif, should never be built on a sadness of bad accounting. The anticipation of finding lost object, followed by dashed hopes, should also not take place within Yerushalayim. Right? Even that situation should not take place within Yerushalayim. Okay, you didn't find the lost object, but let's carry on and go on to have a wonderful vacation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu over the course of a Yontif. What happens with the individual who sets off rumors, right? Who says, who says, Lo matzasi lebitcha besulim. So Rashi explains that here we find the concept of Aveira Goreris Aveira, that since he violated Losisna, he violated the concept of not hating the woman, he comes to Lashon Hara. And the Eretz Tzvi of Kozhenglov notes that the comparison is based on the idea that both Lashon Hara and Sinas Chinam are one and of the same. Because according to the Eretz Tzvi, in order to say Aveira Goreris Aveira, one Aveira causes the next, the two Averos really need to be of a similar type. And so it follows that when one engages in Lashon Hara, then by definition, the person is engaging in a process of declaring Lo Sesna, he's in violation of Sina, of hatred, in the process. Torah tells us, Yasei Tiyeh Lecha L'Azei Necha, a person has to carry a shovel on his belt. Now the Torah's acute reminder to preserve the soldier's cleanliness is paralleled by the Gemara and Ksubis's understanding of this very pasuk, that in the same way one needs to clean the body after ingesting waste, a person has to clean his ears from Lashon Hara. Rav Shaul Yisraeli Zatzal explained that the Israeli army is a different army than any other one in the world. Other armies fight based on a hand-to-hand or a tank-to-tank number basis. The more hand-to-hand combat, the more soldiers, the more armies, the more tanks, the better equipped. But when it comes to the Jewish people, our victories are built on our holiness and our spiritual superiority in the army camp. And thus, there's a very strong need to keep the camp holy. You have to keep your camp holy, and that is our secret weapon that leads us to victory. Torah adds, don't bring a price of a harlot, the animal that's used for a harlot, or an animal that's used to sell a dog on the Mizbeach. And why, I understand the Esnan Zona, the whole process is disgusting. But why is it that a Mechir Kelef, that which you used to buy a dog, or sell a dog, why is that not allowed on the Mizbeach? Why is the Mechir Kelef such a problem? The author of the Esnayim L'Torah, the Lutzke Rav, explains that the dog, as far as animals are concerned, is an animal that tends to be known as an animal that shortens the life of a person. Indeed, we just had in the Daf Hayomi, the Gemara and Baba Kama on Daf Ayin Tes, which strongly speaks about how dangerous dogs are, and how the dogs tend to cause women to miscarry. Dogs, especially wild ones, attack people indiscriminately. And thus, technically speaking, one shouldn't raise a dog in his home if the home is not on the border. On the other hand, the Mizbeach is supposed to be that which brings life to the world, right? The Mizbeach is also supposed to be something, therefore, that we're not allowed to put metal, because metal is used in making war. And so, therefore, using a Mechir Kelef, that which is used to end life, as a korban on the Mizbeach, which promotes life, that's antithetical to the purpose of the animal. When there's a fight between people. And Rashi explains that perhaps one should say that no peace comes from fighting. What's Rashi trying to say? What's his suggestion? So Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter Shlita, the great Kabbalist of Yerushalayim, explains that when people disagree, each side thinks that he or she is in the right. And therefore, each side puts effort into just trying to prove that each side is right, so that the other side will say, oh, I got it, and I'll change my mind in order to create a situation of shalom. However, says Rav Yaakov Meir, no good comes from that perspective. And so therefore, once the sides are drawn, don't try to offer musar from one perspective, because the people just frankly aren't ready to hear it. And so therefore, b'makom riv ein shalom. And therefore, as he says, when there is fighting, there can never be peace. Don't even bother trying to explain it. It's dangerous, it's foolish, it's a waste of time. Torah tells us, Lo sachsom shor b'disho. Torah says that you shouldn't muzzle an ox when he's threshing. And what is the connection between this mitzvah, lo sachsom, and the one of makos, which is mentioned in the previous pasuk, arboy miarkenu lo yosef? Why are they next to one another? So Shmuel Brazil Shalita suggests that the ox here refers to the animalistic soul of the person, the nefesh habahamis. When the animalistic soul overtakes the person and causes him to sin, and not any sin, but the sin and the aveiro sha'adam dash bohem ba'akevav, he just stomps all over them. So then one might think that that should stop him from any forward progress in his life. One might think that he should not be able to daven anymore, he shouldn't be allowed to learn because he's an avarian. However, the pasuk is trying to teach us not to be stopped from davening or learning. Even if a person does terrible averos, he's still special in the eyes of Hashem, and he's desirous to Hashem. And maybe by not giving up, he will once again return himself to being a better quality person. Finally, in the Haftorah, and just a friendly reminder, most communities this Shabbos will lay in the Haftorah of Parshas Noach, which combines the Haftorah of Re'eh together with the Haftorah of Kisetzeh. And we read, Raniyaka Ralo Yalada. We read, Rejoice, O Barren One. And the Gemara in Brachas asks that a certain man came to Berea. And he said to Berea, what does that mean? How could a person who has no children be run? How can such a person rejoice? And so Berea explained that the pasuk here comes to teach us that when the Jewish nation should rejoice, that its future generations will not go to Gehenna like those of the other nations. Rav Shimshon David Pinkas Atzal explained that the beauty of a nation that raises the next one is that there is a hope in the next generation, in a sense that the next generation's appreciation of the unique status it's accorded is based on the pillars upon which it's built. The Jewish child is acutely aware and appreciative of its status. And so, Rani Akara Lo Yalada, that's a statement of Knesset Yisrael. It has to be aware of the fact that even if it's not able to procreate in the present moment due to its status, but it should understand, Ki Rabim B'nei Shom Eimami B'nei Me'ula Amar Hashem. It should understand that in the process, those nations of the world who have much more growth, it's true that it has much more growth, but all that growth goes to waste. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bench us with an opportunity to realize that our future is based on ourselves, and He should grant each and every one of us a Shabbat Shalom and an opportunity to raise Dorei Doros Ad Shabbos Shalkulo Shalom. Have a wonderful Shabbos to all.